It's essentially Gandhi's idea of a Shanti Sena, or a peace army. It is an international trained professional peace force that is deployed in areas of conflict where we're invited. And our role is to reduce violence or prevent violence so that the local people can come together and solve the situation nonviolently.
That was Sherry Wander speaking about Nonviolent Peace Force, an international organization founded on the belief that peace is a human right and that unarmed civilian peacekeeping is an effective intervention to armed conflict, with the potential to transform the way the world deals with war. Sherry is one of two North American representatives for Nonviolent Peace Force. She describes how the group began.
Well, the idea came about in 1999 at the Hague Appeal for Peace Conference. And two people met, and they both realized that not only did they share this vision, but that lots of people all over the world did, and that so many organizations were doing this work, but were limited in their resources and limited in their scope. And so they got together and thought, what we really need to do is make this idea of peace teams and peacekeeping and unarmed bodyguards and weave all this together and make it big. You know, just be really audacious about the way we go about looking at this. And so for 3 years, they pulled people together from all over the world to do research in what are the best methodologies for doing unarmed peacekeeping. And is this feasible? And what kind of cost are we looking at? 3 years after that, we met in India and had kind of a launching event where chapters from all over the world came together and elected an international board and chose a pilot project, and we chose Sri Lanka as our pilot project. And the idea behind that was that we would have a project that would be short term, not that we would necessarily leave, but that we would study it for short term, and then we could learn more from that and continue to do this work. In Sri Lanka, there is a civil war going on, essentially, and it, like most civil wars, the people who hold the power and hold the money don't necessarily want it to end, and so they really keep the sides fighting. Both sides have done things like use child soldiers and kidnapping and rig elections and terrorize people before elections, and so our team is there to try to create the safety zone where that doesn't happen.
Sri Lanka has been in the throes of ethnic civil war for over 20 years. The conflict has claimed over 65,000 lives and displaced over 1 million citizens. The suffering of Sri Lanka's people was greatly increased by the 2004 tsunami. Hopes that the natural disaster might unify the country or expedite the peace process have yet to materialize. However, Sri Lankan peacemakers see the current climate as ripe for change, part of the reason they invited Nonviolent Peace Force members into their country. These peacekeepers, hailing from countries all over the world and working in collaboration with Sri Lankan community groups, have already made progress around the issue of abducted child soldiers. In the summer of 2004, members of Nonviolence Peace Force accompanied a group of mothers who were seeking the release of their children, traveling with them to the jungle military headquarters and acting as a supportive presence while the mothers negotiated with the insurgency leadership. By nightfall, 26 children had been released.
It's hard to talk real specifics about Sri Lanka because one of the things that is important is that we keep people's stories confidential because we don't want to put them in any more danger. But I can talk about the methods in general, and you know these are the types of things that are being used in Sri Lanka. One is accompanying civil society leaders. So when there's leaders of civil society who have been targeted for assassination or torture or whatever, we can have people with them all the time. Election monitoring is another one. There was recently elections in Sri Lanka, and our team was able to mobilize not just themselves, but other supporters from around the world to come and monitor the elections. And we often think of election monitoring as showing up on the day of and making sure that nothing happens, you know, bad. But it was really a lot more than that. It was looking at the whole campaign process and, you know, who was allowed to campaign and what happened beforehand and then also what happened afterwards. Another thing is providing safe spaces for groups to meet. If the Tamalpais Tigers want to, you know, meet with other people, but there's a target, you know, they can't meet in your place, we can't meet in our place, where's that neutral zone? Nonviolent Peace Force can provide that. The other thing is, and this is a lot harder to define, but sometimes just having a presence in the conflict zone can lower the amount of violence. It puts the responsibility of solving problems on local people. So it's not saying somebody from the outside knows what's better from you and we're going to come in and fix it. It's assuming that the people in the conflict know how to do it, know how to solve it. I work with Michigan Peace Team, and we're a member organization of the Nonviolent Peace Force. And one of the places we're active is in Israel and Palestine, and I've been on two peace teams there. And the first time, I stayed most of my time in a refugee camp, Dehesha refugee camp, and I lived with a family whose home was scheduled for demolition. And every night, we would hear explosions all throughout the camp as other people's homes would get demolished. And the home that I was in, even though they called and said, you know, we're going to demolish this home, was never demolished. And the family really believes that it was our presence there that stopped it. And I really believe that too, because we were really able to keep pressure up. By the time we'd been there 2 days, the U.S. consulate was calling us and saying, what's going on? Why are you in this house? And every day when we'd leave the house during the day so that the family could sleep, because we were always up all night listening to these explosions. And so during the day, we'd often go and play with the kids in the community and things like that. And all the children in the community would come up to me and say, like, can you stay at my house tomorrow? You know, when are you going to come and stay at my house? And it wasn't just, here's the novelty in the community, here's this person who doesn't talk like me, doesn't look like me. It was, my house is going to be knocked down. Will you come and protect us too? And we couldn't, because there wasn't enough of us. And so to have to look into these kids' eyes and say, no, you know, we can't be everywhere, it really made me realize, one, how effective unarmed peacekeeping is, and two, how we need to do it in much bigger ways. And that's what the Nonviolent Peace Force is all about. It's about having thousands of people trained to rapidly respond so that there could be somebody in every one of those homes if necessary.
Nonviolent Peace Force continues to grow. Currently, they are planning to send peacekeepers and exploratory teams into Colombia and Israel-Palestine. To learn more about the work of the Nonviolent Peace Force, or to support their work by purchasing peace bonds, visit nonviolentpeaceforce.org. For Black Box Radio, I'm Megan Williamson.